I know that many of your households have been blessed with guests during the Thanksgiving holidays. We're blessed to have my father with us today worshiping. He's been with us for the Thanksgiving holidays. If you want to know what I will look like if I was lucky enough to make 90, you can look over at my dad, and he's a pretty good indication of what I will look like. On this first Sunday of Advent, our vision is already cast toward that glorious day when we celebrate the birth of our Christ. Even as we enter into a period of preparing our souls to receive the great spiritual gifts that God offers us. And as I reflected upon our gaze forward, I couldn't help but think of that image presented us by Charles Dickens in The Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge is allowed to witness who he is now by witnessing who he was as a young apprentice. And he is cast back to a different age, and he sees his good friend Dick Wilkins and is overcome with joy. Dick, it's Dick Wilkins, to be sure. Dick was very attached to me, he was. And then he hears the booming voice of someone he has long forgotten. It is the booming voice of Fezziwig, his old boss, who comes into the room, a beaming, jovial hulk of a man. And he says, "Put away work, Dick. Put away work, Ebenezer. It's time to prepare for Christmas Eve." "Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer." And these two young men fall to the task of cleaning that workspace and creating it into a dance floor. And fires are stoked and lamps are lit. And every aspect of the room is festooned for a celebration. And steaming platters of food are brought in. And in come 20 couples from every strata of society, and they all sit down to a gargantuan feast. And then they engage in breathless dances and wonderful games, and they drink in the conviviality of the moment. They relish the exhilaration of it. And as great as their glowing joy is, the one who glows the most is the onlooker, old Ebenezer Scrooge. The ghost says, "A small thing to make these silly people so full of gratitude." "Small," said Ebenezer. "Well, yes," said the ghost. "He has spent but a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so significant an investment as to warrant such praise?" "That isn't it, spirit," said Ebenezer. "That isn't it at all." Our boss had the power to make our lives light or heavy, burdensome or a toil, a pleasure or heartache. Say that his power resided in nothing more than words and gestures, things that are insignificant. You can't really add them up, and yet the joy that he was able to give was far greater than any vast expense of money. Ebenezer Scrooge realizes that Fezziwig had given him an extraordinary gift. The proverb says, "Anxiety weighs a man's heart down, but a good word makes him glad." Contrast the behavior of Fezziwig, who was the kind of boss that all of us would like to have. He's the kind of boss all of us would like to be. He's the kind of person all of us should aspire to be. Contrast him with the first figure that Scrooge encountered his old business partner, Jacob Marley, who came into his room laden down with manacles and locks and chains that he had forged over a lifetime of selfishness. "But you are a good man of business," said Scrooge to Marley. "Humanity was my business," said Marley. "The human condition, the general welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, forbearance, those were my business." But Marley never understood that lesson in life, but Fezziwig understood it in the marrow of his bones. He had the power to make people's lives joyous or sad, anxious or happy, to make their lives a burden and a toil or a pleasure. On this first Sunday of Advent, two great themes converge. It is the Sunday that punctuates an entire season of gratitude. It is also that Sunday that accentuates God's spiritual gift to us of hope. On this Sunday, gratitude and hope converge. Both instincts are implanted within us by our God. God gives us the gift of gratitude that we might relish the abundant blessings that have come our way. But God also gives us that spiritual gift of hope that allows us, even in the darkest circumstances, to pierce forward with expectation. Gratitude and hope. Fezziwig understands the convergence. He knows that his life has been blessed with a multitude of gifts. He knows that he enjoys a myriad of blessings. So how does he live? He lives to pour those blessings out upon others so as to uplift and encourage their existence and turn it into a life of joy. That is the gift of Fezziwig. He spends his blessings uplifting and encouraging the lives of those around him. On this first Sunday of Advent, it is helpful for us to remember that we can give the gift of Fezziwig. Even as you spend the next several weeks frantically searching for some material possessions that you can give unto others in the hopes it'll make them happy, ponder the fact that you have been endowed by God with spiritual gifts that can dispel gloom, bridge estrangement, effect reconciliation, instill hope. And the ultimate effect of those spiritual gifts that you can give, the ultimate effect of the encouragement that you can share in things light and insignificant as a word or a gesture or a smile, the impact those insubstantial gifts can have are often greater than gifts that cost you a material fortune. It is helpful on this first Sunday of Advent to remember all of us are endowed by the ability to give the gift of Fezziwig. All around us, there are people whose hearts are filled with anxiety. But a good word from us might make them glad. We gather on this first Sunday of Advent to celebrate communion. A reminder that our God in God's very nature is a God of charity, mercy, benevolence, and forbearance. A God who in God's very nature is a giving God, a blessing God. And when we gather around this table, when we partake of these elements, we are acknowledging our indebtedness. We are acknowledging our blessedness. And that acknowledgement takes the form of gratitude that should evince itself in words and actions that create hope in others. As we partake of this meal, we do so reminding ourselves that the spiritual gifts with which we have been endowed are given to us not to hoard, but to pour out, to indeed dispel gloom, to bridge estrangement, to dissolve enmity, to create reconciliation, to spawn hope. It is with that expectation that we gather around our Lord's table on this day. Paul wrote to his friends at Corinth, "For I delivered to you what the Lord delivered to me, that on the night our Lord was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And then he said to his friends, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I invite all of you to partake this morning of our Lord's table. It is not Dr. Krimmer's table. It is not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you might come from, wherever you might belong, if you claim Christ as Savior, then you are welcome to come and partake with us as family. We're delighted that you could share in our Lord's table on this day.
As you've heard, as Paul's explanation to the church of Corinth, our Lord used very simple elements to convey to his friends the meaning of what was about to happen. They would become fixated on the violence, the treachery, the intrigue, the injustice, the pure cruelty that was about to transpire. But Jesus focused upon the divine activity that was subtly working through all events. And so he took the bread and broke it. He said, "What happens to this bread happens to me." But even in the shadow of that violent image, he gave thanks. Lord, we are indeed grateful. We're grateful for a season that reminds us to be grateful. For we know that often we take our bountiful blessings for granted as if they are our possessions. This season reminds us that all that we have originates in you. All that we enjoy is an expression of your mercy, your charity, your forbearance, and your unfathomable grace. truly, may we grow in gratitude. And as we approach this table, may we be overcome by our awareness of your nature as a giving God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our Lord, again, using simple elements, took the wine and poured it into the cup. And he said a rather difficult thing to say. My blood is going to be poured out just like this wine. But it symbolizes the new covenant that I am establishing with you. It is the covenant of friendship in the kingdom of God as we are bound together by the Spirit of God. And so even as he offers them this violent image of the price of divine redemption, he gives thanks. Lord, in our own lives, there are moments of searing anxiety, imprisoning depression, deep despair, moments of almost intolerable pain. And yet we know that your Son experienced all of these frailties and vulnerabilities before us and experiences them now with us. May we truly, whatever our circumstance on this day, be people of hope. And it is indeed in hope that we have placed our trust and founded our very lives. And in the name of this Christ we pray. Amen.